Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers who read comics.
Yes, we do. We read the horny ones.
The romantic comics, Nathan.
The horny ones.
with tons of romance and love.
And dirty sex.
Hey. We'll leave that to the listeners.
Yeah, we'll wait till the book part, but yeah.
Real quick, I was like on Audible. I was like trying to see how much certain audiobooks were. And apparently you can't really buy audiobooks. You just got to get Audible.
Yeah, like, you have to have the subscription.
Yeah, I guess there's just no other option. And instead of just buying one and hopefully you get through it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we're on Audible. I didn't know that. Like our podcast is on Audible.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. And they have this feature on there where you can fast forward and slow down our podcast.
Oh, and we just sound drunk?
Yeah, it's so fucking...
Well, you could do that on most podcast apps, I feel like. Let's hear it.
That's done in our first segment, the news. But we got other segments too, like the book. You're just going to keep going, aren't you?
So that's you fast.
Okay.
But this is half.
I sound quite intelligent.
So blankly. We have the book. We got the back matter for said book that we read this week. This week
we sound high.
Benny Desalela star.
You sound drunk as fuck.
No, well, when you laugh, you sound high.
Other things we've been consuming this week, as well as other comics, because...
Can you imagine if...
that was our podcast?
I wonder if anybody listens at any sort of lower speed. I can imagine listening at a higher speed.
Maybe 0.9 or 0.8 or something. If something we're saying is just a bit too fast.
Really fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone gets really excited and they got to talk really fast about it. But yeah, I can't imagine someone listening to a podcast at half speed or quarter speed or whatever that was.
Yeah. No,
but you can do that on Spotify. I'm pretty sure too.
I didn't know that. I know you can do it on YouTube, I think, but I don't know. I just discovered that. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. We sound pretty stupid when we're slow. I feel like we're already slow speakers. It's not like we're very intelligent.
Right.
We're good at speaking at all. So You'd think we'd get it down after almost 150 episodes.
Yeah. But anyway, we got different segments. We got the poll list. We got Back Matter Matters. We got the book we read. And we start with what?
The news.
Bit of news.
Big news. Big news week.
Nathan, big news. The Harley Quinn TV show is getting a Valentine's Day special.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I love that show. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When does that come out? Do you know?
Probably soon.
Okay.
Cool. I imagine before Valentine's Day.
Okay. We got a bunch of new books that were announced and some books that we knew about, but were changed.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Let's hear it.
First off, Declan Shalvey is taking over writing duties on Alien at Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Who was on that?
I don't know. But he's taking over writing duties. It's going to... Actually, they're relaunching the series, and Andrea Brocardo is the artist. So that's pretty interesting.
That's cool. So reboot?
Yep, reboot.
Nice.
Some exciting new things over at DC. Tom Taylor is going to be doing a Titans series over there with Nicola Scott, which is a really big get, I feel like, for an interior book, because I feel like she's only been doing covers.
Yeah, her cover is badass.
Yeah, they're really cool. She does the ones that are the history of all of their suits, you know?
Yeah.
But for DC, I know Russell Dauterman's been doing that for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Lantern series that was announced that was previously with Mariko Tamaki, thank you. She's not on it anymore. Now it's going to be written by Jeremy Adams, who's doing The Flash with Zermonico, who's on Justice League. So... That's interesting. I've never seen a book get announced and then the creative team changes.
But yeah, that's weird.
Before the first book even comes out. So I don't know what happened there.
And maybe Mariko's on something else that takes more of their time.
Yeah. And then there was one other thing announced, but
Nathan, Ghost Rider and Wolverine, Weapons of Vengeance.
Whoa, that sounds great.
By Ben Percy and Jeff Shaw.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there's a cover by
by
Ryan Stegman. It's really fucking cool.
Dude, what? I missed that.
This seems like the most dude action comic
it's
ever.
It's gonna be, yeah.
It's just gonna be them tearing people apart.
Oh man.
And
I love Jeff Shaw. Yeah, he was the one on like Cosmic Ghost Rider on one of them, and Thanos Wins, which you just recently read.
Yeah, I was like, I know that name.
What a weird transition to go from Cosmic Ghost Rider to just regular Ghost Rider. But I'm excited for it.
Best man for the job.
I'm excited to see him on Wolverine, like doing some Wolverine stuff. That's really cool.
That would be neat.
Love that.
We got a teaser for Invincible Season 2 coming late 2023. It was just Invincible and Alan the Alien at a diner.
And they're like, we got so much to animate, so we're going to tell you about how busy that work is by animating something completely different.
It's the most petty like teaser I've ever seen. Because yeah, everyone's it's really funny. Where's more? Because it hasn't even been a year, has it?
No, it definitely has.
It has?
Yeah. It came out in 2020, I'm pretty sure.
No way.
2021, I think, actually.
Oh, did we read it right before the show came out? Which was like the same week as like...
Yeah, that was like...
The Snyder Cut?
Yeah.
God damn. So yes, that would have been almost like 2 years in.
What episode was that even? I think it was before episode 50.
Yeah, it's 51 was Invincible.
Oh, 51. Yeah. So it's been almost 100 weeks.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I guess it's just so fresh because it just changed my life. We should just rewatch it. Yeah. I'm going to rewatch it. Nathan.
What?
Jared Leto is going to bless another franchise and will be in Tron 3.
How is this comic book news, Daniel?
Because there's Tron comics.
Did you have to look that up?
Sure did.
To see if it was comic book news?
Yeah, there's not a lot, but they exist.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is like breaking news. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I listened to Off Panel featuring Rob Guillory as the guest.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know if you knew this, but Farmhand is ending this year with its final arc.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think it'd be like 25 issues in total.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a solid run, I feel like. Yeah, a lot of books now don't get to 25.
That could be like a really fucking sick, like, deluxe.
Oh, yeah. Like a really satisfying compendium. Yeah.
You could see it, like, on your shelf. Like,
yeah,
across
that's Farmhand. That's a good... Yeah, okay, good book.
So then,
did he talk about any plans going forward? Because I know he's got Mosley, which I actually quite enjoyed, but...
He's got Mosley. He's got an OGN coming out. Ooh. So... Original graphic novel that will be coming out, I guess, this year, maybe. And then I think John Layman announced something with him a couple of weeks ago. So,
oh, okay.
More to come.
Nice.
But they're mostly just talking about Mosley. That's it, Nathan. So it's time to get into our book, a beautiful, heartfelt tale about romance.
About fucking. You can't tell me. I mean, it's an interesting book. How did you even find this book?
Okay, so this book comes up a lot when you Google romance comics. There's not a lot that comes up, but this one always comes up.
Yeah, romance comics is not something that happens very much anymore.
Not something that's really in the modern eye, I guess.
Yeah.
But we know Stepan Sijic. He's pretty good. He's done like...
We've seen him around.
Harley stuff.
Yeah, he did the...
He was on Aquaman for a little bit.
Really?
He's on like a specific arc.
Was it the one with like Kelly Sue?
Maybe. I don't know. I just remember hearing someone talk about it, and there was one artist on it originally, like the first 10 issues or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stepan Sijic was on it, and the book just got better.
Really?
Like,
okay, cool.
Like the writing was even better.
Yeah, no, he's a really good artist.
Yeah. And
for a book that's like about romance, I found myself like being really impressed by his like character work, like drawing specifically, like you get the emotion really clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at like showing people be like nervous or like snap out of nervousness straight into like confidence, be looking horny, I guess, too. Yep. But like all sorts of things. So I was like, this guy's really, he like really knows his stuff. So I was pleasantly surprised.
I found myself very engaged in like the plot, you know, and like, so it's about two women that meet online, right? To fulfill their BDSM fantasies.
To fuck.
That too. And it's just like, we've both online dated before, you know, we both have been single and just kind of in the dating scene. And I felt like it really captures like what that's like to, you know, have like a first date or something like that. You know, going to meet somebody.
This book is like really honest, I feel like.
Yeah. It's like not, it's unapologetic.
Yeah, because especially with like a topic as like so uncomfortable as not only sex, but like BDSM mm-hmm. specifically. And they're like, okay, it like goes back and forth between like, I'm so nervous. And then like, so it feels so free. And then like, I'm nervous again. So like, what does this mean? Like now that we've done whatever we've been doing. Yeah. And like, it goes back and forth. And it's really interesting because I imagine this would be like hard to research or something. Like, I don't know, but I feel like he like really nails it.
I'm a little surprised that it got like greenlit at Image or Top Cow.
Yeah, this is a Top Cow.
I don't know. It just seems like something of this nature wouldn't really be published, I guess, like in for print.
Yeah, but for a book about sex, there's like not that much sex in it, you know?
Yeah, no.
There's like nudity, but there's sure. not like a whole lot of
it's like, not actual fucking... like it's not like just porn.
Yeah, know? It's not.
So it's not super long. It's like 86 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of back matter. And
probably some of our most unique back matter. I don't know if you read it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I read all of it. It was super engaging. The thing that I normally have issues with in comics is like they're not really being like a villain or like a problem necessarily to solve.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a slice of life like situation playing out.
Yeah, there's no like big bad you got to take down or like right. you're not going to save the world or whatever, which we're really used to.
But it doesn't like need that. So I thought it was like pretty impressive. Some mm-hmm. of the pages were like a little dense than my liking, but you know, you still like get through it.
Mm-hmm.
What something I noticed about his artwork is that he's like really good at drawing like furniture in like architecture.
I don't know if I noticed that.
Like, but I feel like I was in this house, you know, like I know I can draw out like the floor plan of this house because of how consistent it is. It might just be his house. I don't know.
You're right. Because I'm like, okay, that's where Anne's room is. There's like a room with like a sign on it. And I'm like, okay, that's next to the stairs.
Don't go in that one. Yeah. Yeah,
don't go in that one.
You go down the hall. Then there's a sex room.
Yeah.
Downstairs to the left is the living room. Go past that kitchen. You know,
you're absolutely right. He also does something interesting with his art where there's clearly like a focus on each panel, whether it be like the face or like somebody's hand or something, like whatever they're doing. And sometimes like other parts of the panel aren't as detailed, like with the line work specifically. And I think that's interesting because it feels like it's on purpose.
I think he just draws it normally, but like we'll have like a layer of like the foreground and then just blur the background.
No, even like stuff that's in the foreground sometimes will be like the face will seem... you know, pretty like there's like a lot of attention to it. And then as you get down, it's just like kind of just basic lines and stuff for like your leg, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something that I noticed a lot, but I kind of liked. But anyway, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So this is about Allie and Lisa, who are two friends that met online, and they're friends, but they're also virtual BDSM fuck buddies.
Yep.
And they decided to meet for like the first time. And I like how they start the book, or I like how they start this because it's, you know, it's about the feeling before you like go do something that like seems crazy to you. And he like definitely communicates that because both of them on both sides are like, I can't believe I just set this up to like meet this person that like I know, but I don't know like in person.
Yeah, because they like, this is both of their like firsts when it comes to mm-hmm. the BDSM stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like
it's
what they're establishing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just like a first date or just meeting someone online. It's like one is found out through life that one is like a dom and the other is the sub.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just really excited. It's just kind of the butterflies you get.
I think he's got some kick-ass lettering. I don't think that like the tails of the balloons are like my favorite most times. They're very squiggly, but like when he's trying to express emotion through lettering or like communicate something through like manipulating the typical like speech bubble, I think that's like really cool. Like when they both say yes to like meeting for the first time, there's like a bunch of spirals and stuff like around the word balloon.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. Or there's one where someone's responding like to somebody over the phone and he's saying like, what? Or saying like, what? Like, what do you want? And it's like a skull. Yeah. And I'm like, that's sick.
There's also like certain parts where like they're saying something like cutesy or whatever. And it's just a heart.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm like, that's nice.
But yeah.
I like that.
Straightforward.
And I like how when he's introducing the characters, he's like, it's a story about love and feelings. It's also about hot lesbian sex, let's be clear.
Yeah.
But it's also about love. And so he like sets us up for that.
Yeah, calls us pervs.
Yeah. Which I thought was funny.
I love when they do that, you bunch of pervs.
Yeah. And so they're both really nervous since they've only like talked online, but it's also very exciting. And they all, it's like all they can think about. Allie gets like a bunch of dominatrix shit from her friend Alan, and she orders like a whole ass bed for like the occasion.
It seemed pretty, pretty big jump from 0 to 100, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, I got to get this bed.
It's got all these like little hooks like all around it for, you know.
It's shaped. Oh, I thought it was shaped like a heart, but I guess it's not.
Oh, no.
It looks like it at the angle that they're drawing it up. But yeah, it's got. Yeah, it's got hooks and stuff, so you can chain some people up. It's real nice. I guess her friend Alan.
So real secure.
Yeah.
It won't fall off.
Sure. Yeah, that's what it's for, so you don't fall off.
It's like a seatbelt.
In case there's an earthquake, you don't roll off the bed. I think that's what it's for.
Yeah.
She has a friend, Alan, that looks, I think, too much like Lisa.
Yeah, it's just Lisa with like a goatee.
It really is. And I'm like, I the first couple pages, I'm like, wait, didn't we just see her at the library? No, she's in bed or whatever, but he's got a goatee. Yeah, that's like the only thing that differentiates them.
This like whole book is just kind of like dominated by like the color red, you know? There's red just like throughout and different hues of red, different shades of that. And so like
the characters are like wearing like a pink shirt, and then like the two characters in like the scene with Lisa and Alan, like they're both wearing red shirts.
Yeah, like couldn't mix that up.
I don't think I noticed that, but yeah, even like the next scene where Lisa's in a different outfit, it's red and white stripes, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's only the
people who don't matter, like some moving people that are wearing like different colors, you know?
Yeah. So then they are both deciding like what to wear and all that. And then they finally meet, and there's a pretty cool scene or a pretty cool like double page spread where they're like both trying stuff on, trying to figure out like what looks right. And I think that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, I just think like Stepan's really good with body language and stuff, because like as they're like trying to think about stuff, like about what to wear, like you can tell like the amount of confidence they have in like the outfit that she's gonna wear and stuff like that. So I think he does really good with that.
I think being able to do facial expressions like that is like one of the most important skills, especially with something where there's no like punching or anything.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just trying to convey emotion. That's like,
you're just
you gotta nail that.
Yeah. You're solely relying on the acting of like these characters to carry the book. It makes me really want to read Harleen, because I imagine all of the like over dramatic sort of expressions that Harley Quinn probably makes would be really cool in that book.
Yeah. And just like another OGN from him would be sick.
I wonder if it's like, do we know if it's like another romance book? Is it about like her meeting Joker or just like her being her own thing?
I think it's like an origin kind of thing. I saw that. It's pretty sick.
Okay, cool.
It's got like a desk cover on it. It's very, very fish.
I'm cool. I'm glad when artists that make book about sex go into Big Two.
Yeah.
You know, it happened with Chip.
Just like draw the same thing, but just put tights on him.
Yeah, put the Batman logo over it.
Yeah,
and call it good. But
same thing, but no nipples.
Pretty much, yeah. Especially with like probably characters like Harley or like Catwoman and stuff, it'd basically be the same thing.
Yeah.
So Lisa has to use the bathroom like off rip right when she gets there.
Yep.
And she's like super shy about it. And then they talk for like a few hours, trying to get like warmed up, and then they start to do the dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And they ease into it pretty well, which it seems they're like kind of testing boundaries. They establish a safe word, which is sunstone. That's like a weird thing that prepared, I feel like, to be like sunstone.
Yeah.
What
does that even mean?
There's an explanation as to why he chose sunstone as the word, but it's like, it's only like readers that only knew him from like his DeviantArt stuff would know sunstone.
Because
like this started off as something that was on like DeviantArt or Tumblr or something like that.
DeviantArt.
And then it eventually became a book when he wanted to write something. And so it's like a callback to like those days, I guess.
Yeah, it was cool reading about that, how it was just like a bunch of basic comic strips that he did with the same characters, but they were just kind of all like out of order, and he didn't have like an order for them.
Yeah.
Until like people were just demanding,
they were like, what's the continuity here?
Yeah.
Fucking comic
nerds.
When
did this happen?
When did this bondage sex happen? Was it after this bondage sex?
Yeah.
And it's like, but yeah, it is interesting that he started this pretty much just like little one-offs, like basically like a Charlie Brown comic strip with tits.
Yeah.
that's the best way to
That's how Charlie Brown got popular.
Can you imagine?
Just like you're reading the paper and you're like, oh.
No, oh, there's, yep. So they do some foreplay and then they get into the fuck room, which is the new bed. And she's like, why do you have all this stuff if this is your first time? And she's like, I just got excited and I bought a bunch of stuff. Don't even worry about it. And so they do the dirty and then they shower after and then they hang out after, which is nice. And then Lisa keeps her collar, her bondage collar thing on the whole time.
And she goes to work.
And then, yeah. And so, yeah, then they jump back and forth between like being friendly and horny. But yeah, the next day she like takes it to work.
She like puts like a scarf over it.
Horny little thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like it's hidden, which is part of like the thrill or like the appeal to her is that she's like, nobody knows I was being fucking horny last night or whatever. So
if I like saw someone wearing that with like other goth stuff or something, stuff that's like black that also has chains on it, I don't think I'd blink twice or anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't
like,
think anything of it.
But just that she's wearing like pretty normal clothes and she's like a waitress mm-hmm. or like a barista or something.
Yeah.
You just got that on.
I wonder how many times we've seen something like this and we're like, that's a cool necklace.
Probably every day.
Maybe. There's some interesting observations that were made just kind of like during that whole scene. And he explains that like BDSM people are just sex nerds. Basically. And I thought that was interesting because it's like different ways to like, I don't know, really like do sex.
I don't know if it's like nerds because it's definitely a different
but it's like,
category, you know?
It's like, I guess in the way that we talk a lot about comics and like what makes comics good. They talk about sex and what makes sex good and what accessories to sex you can have.
Now that's like us being like super into like indie comics or something that people have never heard of or
it's
something.
It's like us being like really wanting like a spinner rack, you know?
Okay. Like no, every comics fan wants one of those.
I don't think that like typical comics fans like really know what a spinner rack is unless you're really in the sauce like us. And so like our level of deep into comics wanting like a spinner rack for a BDSM person is like having a sex swing or something. But I don't want a sex swing. I want a spinner rack, Daniel.
Yeah, same.
So
way sexier.
Yeah. And I think when they're like hanging out and they're being friends, I think they're watching Twilight because they mentioned someone having to choose between necrophilia and bestiality. And I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, I did not put that together. I'm like, what the fuck are they watching?
I know. I was like, that's weird. And I'm like, I wonder if that's like a reference. And I thought about it for 2 seconds. So
you're consistently proving that how much smarter you are than me.
I try my best. He does really good with double page spreads. There's a lot like of double page spreads where there's clearly like one big like focus, but then there's like a lot of smaller panels they sprinkles on there that I think decorate the page pretty well.
Something you got to think about when you're reading this is like when I guess he was asked to make something like this, you know, like an exotic book.
I don't think he was asked to make an exotic book.
It was in the background and then he was asked to make this.
By who?
By like Image.
Top Cow.
I think
he pitched it to Top Cow, didn't he?
Well, I think they asked him to do it and then he pitched it. But anyway,
okay, gotcha.
He's like from Europe, right? He's from like Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
And like exotic comics are just like super fucking normal there. You know, like it would be as normal as like an Iron Man comic, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Where, so, in Croatia?
Croatia.
We gotta go there. All right.
That's where they film Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
I just love Game of Thrones.
But anyway, like, so it's not like this is like weird that it's made, you know? It's very normal and just happened to make it to like an American market.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah.
I noticed that this, like the first volume isn't on Comixology if you're like look in the app.
Yeah.
You have to like find it on Amazon and then it just like pops up.
Which is super dumb. But
like the third volume is.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a dumb thing with Amazon.
Yeah.
Like if Amazon's you go. That's how deep we are in comics is that we look on the comics app for comic and comic not there.
Yeah. And so we have to find comic somewhere else.
Comic through other resources.
Which is bizarre.
You have to know how to find comic.
I wonder if that's only for like horny comic.
No, because like Nemesis is like that.
There's a lot of nudity.
No. It's just like, it's just one of those comics that just doesn't pop up when you search Comixology. But if you go to Amazon and go to Kindle version, then you can get it, you know?
Gotcha.
I don't know if it's because of the violence or whatever. I don't really know how it works.
Yeah, I don't either. Also, I don't know like what we're going to put on YouTube because we normally put like screenshots of some of the things we're talking
about.
It's
not like there's like just tits every page, dude.
There's a...
I'll put the logo of like YouTube over the nipples.
If I had to guess like a percentage of pages the fucking main story, the Trade Waiters logo.
Yeah.
What are you finding?
I'd just be like fucking.
For audio listeners, you just put Trade Waiter stickers over his nipples.
Yep.
You're also completely naked right now.
Yeah.
For audio listeners.
I just wanted them to feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. But if I did like put a percentage of pages in this book that have like just nudity, it'd probably be like at least 45%.
Nah, it's like 30.
You think so?
45 is like half.
I think that they're like, it seems like half sometimes.
But I don't know. I feel like
maybe like 30.
There was so much buildup to the first meeting, you know?
That's true.
And like,
what would you say your percentage was?
Like 30.
Okay. I'll count after this. Dana, put up the percentage right now.
So hold up.
Above my head.
So page 34 is the first time we see.
And then tits from then on.
back matter does not count. Wait, what do you mean?
Okay. No, just main story. So like the 86 pages or whatever.
How many?
Yeah, how many of those 86 pages in the main story do you think had contained nudity?
Like 20?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're wrong. I'm going to count after this, but yeah. Okay, so the next morning, Lisa goes to work, but she plans on coming back to like do it again. And she works with her collar on secretly, covered by like her turtleneck. And then meanwhile, Anne stays home and her friend Alan comes over to like talk about the night. And there's like an interesting relationship that these two have because I guess they used to be fuck buddies, but they were both doms and they're like, that's not a good recipe or whatever.
It just doesn't work, I guess.
And so now they're just homies.
Which is pretty interesting is that like...
They recognize that?
They were like once like together, but then they just realized like, I don't know.
Like, oh, we're just not compatible like sexually, so this won't work.
Yeah, so they really just can't. Like they're like, yeah, doesn't mean they want it to happen that way, but it's just science.
Yeah. You know? It's just nature.
Science.
Pretty much. Yeah. And so, but they still like play video games together.
Yeah. So what do you think they're playing? Like Call of Duty or something?
It seems like it's some kind of shooter game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Lisa comes back. They get down and dirty again. She's putting on some crazier outfits, some crazier sub outfits. It looks like a superhero outfit almost.
She looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I was like, that's a sick design.
There's like a mask that goes over her face.
That's how you know we're nerds, because I'm like, oh, Dana looks kind of sick, actually.
She kind of looks like the Reed Richards from like Secret.
Oh, Thinker?
Thinker. He looks like Thinker.
He kind of does look like Thinker.
But, and then there's, you know, the...
No, you know what? It looks like...
And there's whips and stuff.
It looked like New 52 Raven. You know how she had like
oh my god, you're so right.
It had like the thing that went over her face. Yeah,
whatever the fuck that was.
Evil Raven. It was cool. I liked it.
It was Evil Raven?
No, but she looks like Evil Raven in this because the thing's all red.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, they hang out later and then Anna reveals that she has this like big house and tons of stuff that she bought because she sold some like software IP.
I hate that like trope.
I think that's a good reliable way to get money.
No, you know? It definitely is, but like I just hate when like people are like, oh, why don't you work? Like, oh, I just like sold a company.
I sold an app,
a tech thing. Yeah, you know. And so,
but
not
it happens.
Not that like I want him to put more effort into that because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But I just hate hearing about it because I'm jealous.
I know. I'm like, oh, God, I should just come up with some app.
Like, what about me?
Like the guy that like imagine the guy that made Wordle. Like he's still chilling on his like couple mil that he got for Wordle.
Dude, how much was that?
New York Times bought it for like a couple million, I think.
Yeah, it was like 4 million or something.
Yeah, and so now he could just be chilling. Yeah. And he did something else for Reddit,
well,
I believe,
surely
as well.
He had to like continue working on it, didn't he? Or
no, they just took it. I'm pretty sure. I mean, what do you got to work on? Just put more words.
And then like it just really fell off for most people. I know we have like a group chat that like are for our grandparents, but
I think it's just like, I don't know. There's nothing to like keep it interesting, I guess. I think it was always meant to, I think that was always going to be its like fate, you know?
Yeah.
But,
it was
like, what do you really do to like innovate off that? You know, I like all the spinoffs of like the movie ones, like Framed.
Dude, I used to do that shit like every day.
I love Framed. There's an archive for that. It's framed.wtf and it basically takes like screenshots or different shots of movies.
Yeah.
And, there's like six of them in total. And as you keep going, it makes it more obvious like what the movie is.
Yeah.
But there's like a good archive feature where you can go back to like certain days.
Yeah.
And every like two, maybe like every month, I'll just do like 30 of them.
There's one, I can't remember. It was like Movie Duel or something.
Is that the one where it plays the movie really fast?
Yeah, in like a in like 5 seconds.
Dude,
like,
I love that one.
It shows everything. And I'm like, it's fucking Avatar right there.
I love that one. And I'll really be like, I have no idea what this is. And I'll see like Farquaad or something. And I'm like, Shrek. Yeah, that one sounds pretty fun too. I want one for comics though. Like we had that idea. Don't steal it. This is copywritten and right. trademarked, whatever it is. But didn't we have one where it's like one panel of a comic?
Yeah, we did think about that.
Yeah.
I but that'd be so hard.
That'd be so no, because you could maybe it would be hard because if it's like Amazing Spider-Man or something,
yeah,
what would we accept? But I think I would want it to do like a mostly independent books, you know, like one will be Bone, you know,
sure,
Spawn.
I feel like indie comics is like even deeper, like into comic fandom, you know, like you yeah. have to have big two stuff in there.
But imagine. Someone's like, oh, I like this art or whatever. And then they don't know what the book is. And then, boom, here's the book. Here's the artist. Here's the writer. Here's a link to go buy that book. You know?
And then the last one is just like the fucking cover. But, but without the
just a name, black bar obviously. Over the trade dress.
Yeah. That looks like Spider-Man.
Yeah. So I still want that to happen.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, they fucked. And so Lisa meets Alan. Fully nude by accident, but then she like starts to like quickly understand that dynamic between Alan and Anne, which is cool because I thought that definitely could have been a point where it took like a dramatic turn.
It could be a little tense in
yeah
because like who's this dude?
Yeah, because yeah, Lisa meets this person and he's like, oh, you must be the person that Anne's fucking like a lot. She told me like everything, all the details and stuff. Like that could be like overstepping boundaries a little bit or something. And mm-hmm. so I was like, oh, this is all going to crash and burn. But then she was like, no, I get it. That's fair.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, good. And so,
cause like, they're not like in a relationship. So just, if someone's like there, it could be like another partner or something like that. You know, there's nothing that they talked about there.
Yeah.
And then like after this point, it's interesting. Cause like they met for like this one purpose. And they're both wondering if they can like even if they can still like hang out and like be friends.
Yeah.
Like that was like,
are they gonna be friends or are they gonna be like partners or like, yeah. what does that look like? Cause they're very clearly like in like a honeymoon kind of phase thing.
Right. And so they just weren't sure if they could do both, you know?
Mm-hmm. So basically they all hang out for a little bit.
All wearing red,
which doesn't help.
With their red couch and red walls.
Red couch. You're right, dude. I don't know why I didn't pick that up before, but yeah, they're like wearing this three different shades of red.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's very red in here.
And so yeah, like Alan and Anne play like video games while Lisa reads and do all that. Alan ends up taking like measurements of Lisa to make more sex stuff, and then Lisa goes home, but her and Anne are like still texting and they're like reliving like the weekend in their head and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. So very very like. Short story, I would say, but still pretty satisfying, I guess. I actually like this page where after Lisa goes home and Anne's there by herself, like the page starts to transition into like just being white in the background because it's showing like how big and lonely the house is. Oh, sorry, it looks like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, that's a pretty cool page. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So very nice. And let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
So we said that this is like some of the most interesting back matter because it's like its own story. It feels.
Yeah, it's like
the story of how this book came to be.
The making of.
But it's interesting because he draws himself in like his state of mind at the time of like doing this book.
Yeah.
Because the story is that he was doing another comic that he just creatively felt very drained by, like he wasn't like trying to improve or do anything like that, and so as a means to get the creative juices going, he would like post to DeviantArt doing just like random sex comics and stuff.
Is it his wife just Lisa?
You know what, that's probably what it is. Yeah, but it's also interesting because like he's drawing panels of him, you know, displaying that sort of hate that he had at the time. But not only that, he's also posting, I think, the DeviantArt pages of like Sunstone that yeah. he did before. And there's so many, like it's the background of every page of just like all the like mini pages Mm-hmm. The pages were normal when he posted them, but they're like mini pages for like the background.
Right.
And so I think that's super interesting. So yeah, then he would like post just random like pages, just most of the time doing like a joke or something like that. And then the people that were following him were like, what's the continuity here? Like, is this after this thing or whatever? And so then he decided that when he wanted to write his own thing, he would make it about Sunstone, and he did it with Top Cow, which is pretty cool. And then he had to like really figure out the characters, because up to this point, they were just these like the two characters they would just use, or like three characters. But it would also sometimes be like MMO like characters, like they'd be like angels and devils or something.
Yeah.
And they'd have like different suits on and different powers. So I thought that was interesting as well. I think there are the two characters, Lisa and Anne, were pretty much like the same characters in like some of the other books that he did. I think it was like Ravine or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was the book they didn't like, but yeah, I think that these character designs carried on to like other books, which is interesting.
Right. And then there's like a couple variants in here. A
couple variants, yeah. A couple jokes that he would post. Like there's one where Lisa's wearing a shirt and it says, "The only straight thing about me is my jacket." And I'm like, that's a good joke.
But like the straight and straight jacket is like...
It's not spelled like normal that. Straight. Yeah.
It is spelled like normal
straight.
It
still straight.
Works. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The joke still is good.
That'd be a very bold thing to wear out to like Target, you know?
Yeah. He drew one... of like a bondage suit that looks like a mermaid tail, and I guess somebody actually made that,
which is
for realsies so in cool. real life, which is pretty awesome actually.
Yeah.
It'd be funny to like see that picture for the first time as well.
Yeah.
Be like, wow, someone's ass is out.
Yeah, I know.
And then we have some like sketches and design stuff, but yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good stuff.
And Top Cow really likes to plug their other stuff.
But, well, this is stuff by him.
Well, no, there's stuff that's like after this, like Think Tank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it did show all of Stepan Sedgwick's stuff, which is cool. So Death Vigil, Ravine, Aphrodite, Nine. Is that what that numeral? Yeah. And then Nine Generation. It's crazy because I picked up the first issue of Think Tank and I did not like it. But really? I didn't know I had like a Top Cow comic book.
Yeah, I was like, this looks familiar. I can't remember what it was from.
I picked that one up before.
But yeah, that's Sunstone, Nathan.
Yeah, that's the book. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
You know, it's good, swift to read. I think I'm just going to give it a like it, you know, with a ball gag on it, you know.
That's good.
But... I think I would have liked it if it was like a bit longer, like just like a little bit more added to it. I guess I can always just read the second volume or whatever.
Yeah, true.
But it's a pretty like simple concept, but it's done really well. And the artwork is incredible, obviously. Yeah,
artwork is done very well.
But, and then I like felt something other than just like horny, like looking at the panels, you know, I was like excited for them. And I kind of felt nervous because it's just like...
This could go wrong at any second.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's like kind of the what I was feeling. Like it was more than just, you know, nudity. You know, there was actual story to that I felt connected to.
Yeah. I was like, I'm glad that this worked out for them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I would probably also give it a like it. I want to do something different though other than ice cream. It's okay. Like I want it's a
some edible underwear.
It's like a See's candy box of chocolate that they give during Valentine's Day.
But like the small but heart like
the
one?
Medium one?
The medium one, okay.
If there's like a medium, small, medium, large one.
Okay.
And I liked it.
Good stuff.
And there's mostly good chocolate in there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's like a chocolate and it's like, oh, there's a ton of raspberry jelly in
dude,
here.
Dude, that's exactly what I was thinking. I fucking hate those.
I'm like, come on, just give me more chocolate.
I'm like, ew, no.
When I eat a chocolate, I just want more chocolate on the inside.
Put caramel in there or something.
Yeah, caramel works.
I didn't come here for a fruit salad.
I didn't want a puree.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I rate this. But pretty solid overall if this is the sort of thing that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I think he succeeds in doing that. So
definitely.
So let's go... into
the actually toilet. Nathan
okay
I got a surprise for you.
I don't
no good
like
good
the timing of the surprise. It makes me think is kind of funky, but
no good surprise.
Okay.
I knew this would be a little bit of a shorter episode, so I think it'd be fun to play a little game.
Okay. God damn it.
And we're gonna play the panel game.
No way. Are you serious?
I kind of made one. I just like took screenshots.
That's so funny that we were just talking about this.
I know. I got very excited when you when you brought it up.
Okay, sick.
So this is one panel. Luckily for you, these are all
Umbrella
books
Academy
that we've read. No.
Ooh, really?
That is incorrect.
Royale Club.
So okay. Some of these are, I made them like really hard.
Okay, so this is one panel of two characters in silhouette outside of a club called the Royale Club. It's kind of dark. The art, this is stuff that we've read on the show. Okay. It looks like it would have been a Gabriel Ba Umbrella Academy just based off the coloring, but
it's a good guess.
I don't know.
To narrow it down even more, it's only in our YouTube era stuff.
So I don't know when we started that, so that doesn't help me at all. I could look at like the list of
our
episodes,
first one
but I'm
was
not going to.
Miss Marvel.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so
the next one?
I've only picked one panel from each book.
Okay, all right. So, what is this then?
So this is Powers.
Okay, so I
0 for 1 right now.
I had that one in print, I think, because I couldn't get it virtually.
Okay.
So I think that's why I fucked that one up.
Anyway, there's that one.
For sure I get the next one.
Yeah, definitely.
This is so fun already. Okay. this is Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
This is the panel where she's hanging out with Galactus and they're on the moon and Squirrel Girl is sitting on Galactus's back looking at Earth.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the best comic book panels ever made.
I like could have picked something harder, but I'm like, this is such a good panel.
She looks like Sandy Cheeks. She's got the big fishbowl like dome on.
Yeah.
And I love this panel so much.
She is Sandy Cheeks.
That's awesome. Okay, this is, I know what this is. Just pure, it could have been like a closer picture of the horse, but it's Asad Ribic in Thor: God of Thunder.
Wow, even dropped the artist. Very good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these, so don't worry.
Okay, cool. Okay, this is Fantastic Four, specifically Future Foundation, written by John Hickman with art by...
I don't even know if you...
Dude, it's the guy that did Winter Soldier, right?
I don't know.
Dude, it is. It's I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. Fuck, but yeah, it's Future Foundation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the panel where the Hulk or the thing is feeling real sad and he's on his bed.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's going to really mess me up if I don't get that. Hold on. Steve Epting, that's what it was.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, all right, next one. Okay, this is a good one too. Like, I feel like this would be a really good one for like if we had the whole...
So fucking hard.
Dude, it would have been so hard, but the people that know would know, you know? So this is from... The panel is a box of pills, but there's M&Ms around the pills. And this is from Flex Mentallo, Man of Muscle Mystery, artist Frank Quitely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he was like, did I actually take a bunch of pills to commit suicide or were they actually M&Ms? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good one. This is
the coolest church in comics.
A spaceship that has a church on it and it's flying into the sun or something. And it's from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Very good. Artist? Actually, I don't remember either. So.
It's,
there's a couple artists in that book, so.
Yeah, there was, but it's like the main team.
Abnett and Lanning.
Abnett and Lanning, yeah, thank you. This is Mike DiDotto Jr. from Not All Robots.
And what do we see here?
And we see one of the cities that, it was like one of the bubble cities, and they accidentally had their oxygen turned off, so everybody suffocated and died.
Yeah. This is Orlando, and this is Disney World.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What a nice panel.
Yeah. You can feel the magic from here.
Oh, okay. This is from The Good Asian.
Good job.
Yeah. It's one of the club scenes where they're in like a Chinese club. Type thing.
You got it.
Yeah. I don't remember the artist on that, but I know the artist is Pornsek Bishode.
Yeah.
Bishode, something like that.
The writer.
The writer. This is from Harley Quinn.
Correct.
Yep. That is...
I follow him, but I can't remember his
dude,
name.
Dude, it's Mark... No, Russo... Fuck, what's his name? Riley Rossmo, that's what it is.
Ooh, that's it.
It's two R's. That's why I remember it so bad. But yeah, it was a guy with like a he was like a Joker goon, but he's got like a big smiley face on his huge ass double chin.
Yeah.
This is a really good one.
Yeah, I think this is one of my favorites from the book.
Yeah, okay. It's a panel that's like letters, and it says bang, and someone got shot in the face. This feels like it would have been from The Many Deaths of Layla Starr.
Oh, no, it's not Layla Starr.
Okay.
Think about how good these colors are, Nathan.
Yeah, the colors are really good. That's what I'm getting from it. Like, the bang is pink, which I think any...
Just think of...
Most color artists wouldn't, like, put pink and purple as, like, these things. They'd probably go, like, a deep red.
You're thinking, right?
And he's getting shot in the head.
Who's just a real good colorist, Nathan?
Jordy Belair. Dave Stewart. This is from One Star Squadron.
No one got shot in that.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right, actually. Was it Dave Stewart?
No.
Was it Jordy?
No.
Is it...
Do you know who my favorite colorist is?
Yeah, it's Matt. What's his last name?
Wilson.
Wilson. Matt Wilson.
What are some of his works?
What did we read that was from Matt Wilson?
I think it might have just been this one thing in the YouTube era.
Oh, dude, I'm going to be so annoyed. Is it a big two?
Mm-mm.
It's not a big two. I figured that much. I don't know what it is.
This is from Paper Girls.
Oh, yep. Yep, that was Matt Wilson.
Yep.
That's a good one, too.
I know, yeah.
That would be impossible, though, if, like, just, like, randomly out of context for, like, all the internet.
Yeah.
I'd be really
Maybe,
impressed.
Like, a multiple choice one, you know?
No.
No.
Okay. So this is a big space scene. It feels very Marvel. Oh, no, that's clearly... A droid from Star Wars. Is this from... We only did like one Star Wars thing, right? It's Dr. Aphra?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This might be a little spoiler.
It's a bit spoilery.
I didn't realize that till right now.
I was like, oh, easily Marvel.
With the black C-3PO.
Yeah, there's a black C-3PO.
That was
no, like, we did like a couple of Star Wars things since we started YouTube, right? Because we did an Obi-Wan one.
I think we... We first tried on the Obi-Wan one, okay. But it like didn't work.
Oh, okay.
So we just kind of waited until the next day.
Very cool. Okay, so this is Justice League, no, Justice Society of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scene where there was like a Russian bad guy team.
No, it's a Nazi bad guy
team. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Nazi bad guy team. There's clearly a guy with a swastika on his chest right there.
They're the Fourth Reich.
The Fourth Reich. Dude, I love the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
Or don't clip that out of context, but I love the fact that I love the absurdity of this comic book villain team.
But you definitely feel the hate here.
Yeah, because they are ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, that was one of my favorite panels in that book.
Just the coolest super team. Okay, this is Liam Sharp's Brave and the Bold Batman Wonder Woman.
Very good.
It's a big... Dude, he's so good at his details.
This is one I love.
Even
those
if
panels.
You cut out like Batman and Wonder Woman there, I feel like I'd still be able to get it just because of how good he is at those environments.
Yeah.
Damn, there's a lot here. Okay. Ooh, this one is the Punisher book that we read.
Which one?
It's the Christmas one, the Christmas Punisher episode.
Yeah.
It's a first person view of someone shooting people with an Uzi. And I love the hands here.
Yeah.
They're so good.
We're about halfway through. Don't worry.
Oh, wow. Okay. There's a lot. Is this? I was about to say the naughty list for some reason because I had Christmas on the mind.
No.
But that book was not good. And this is a good panel. So
yeah,
the color work. Or sorry, the inking is really interesting. Someone gets run over by a car. I like the lettering. It says thump, which I don't know if that's what that would sound like if you get run over by a car.
Yeah, it'd be like a thump.
You think so?
Or like a douche or something.
I think it's more of a douche, not a thump.
Okay.
The coloring's really good. Dude, I don't know.
Whose style does this look like?
The style is what I have to rely on with like the heavy inks. But I don't know.
You give up?
Who's the artist?
Francesco Francavilla.
Oh, is this wait. What did we read by him recently?
I don't know. What did we read?
We've only read Afterlife. Oh no, this is oh fuck, what the fuck is that book called?
I love how like
I immediately went to Afterlife with Archie.
This is a hard panel.
That is a hard one. It does look like Francesco Francavilla, and it's the book, the horror one he did with Scott Snyder. I can't even think of it.
Night of the Ghoul.
Night of the Ghoul. Thank you.
Good book.
Yeah. Okay. Very bright coloring, more detailed. It looks like, dude, I can think of it. I'm having like tons of brain farts now thinking of artists. I think it's Kenneth Rockefeller in, we did Red Hood and the Outlaws. Is that what it was? No, sorry.
That is a Kenneth Rockefeller book that we did, but that's not what this is.
Is this Kenneth Rockefeller?
No. I don't even think we knew the artist on this.
Okay, let's read what he says. You handle the media and leave the rest to me. There are only so many places he can hide, and in 28 days, he's going to be begging us to take him in. 28 days. That's a very specific number.
I'm loving.
There will be different media attention with Russell on the loose. All of that prep work wasted. That changes the game entirely.
I'm loving watching you just relive this and like figure it out.
Dude, I can't. I don't know.
You wanted this game, Nathan. You got it.
I know it's so hard. I didn't think so. The coloring is really interesting. Is this Suicide Squad?
No. That was before you.
He's got a hat on. That's very interesting to me. I don't think either of these are main characters, though.
Not really.
So that makes it hard. What is it?
This is Werewolf by Night. Remember the detective had like the scar on her face. Yeah. And the hat that he's wearing is like a police hat.
Was his name Russell?
Yeah, it was Kurt Russell. No, not Kurt Russell.
No, that's an actor.
Russell Brand? I don't know.
That's another actor.
What's that dog species?
Wolf.
No, it was like something Russell.
Oh.
Jack Russell. Jack, that Russell? Was his name. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, remember? It's
just okay, like, I'm glad I didn't get this one right because I did not like that book.
Neither did I.
This is a very scary one.
Mm-hmm.
Is he holding a gun?
Yeah.
Is this the other porn sack Bishosate book we did? Infidel? Is that what it is?
No.
Okay.
No, the artwork on that was way better than this.
It's very bright. There's lights. It's someone sneaking out of a window. Is that too many toes? 1, 2, 3, 4.
You can't really tell how many toes there are.
It looks like one too many toes, which could be a clue. I don't know this one, actually.
This is from The Sandman. That is...
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be one of the ones that we did on Comic Dole or whatever we would call it.
What was that dude's name? The villain?
Neil Gaiman?
No.
Oh. That
is like Dr. Destiny or something?
Dr. D, yeah.
Is that it? Yeah.
This is actually making my brain tired.
Good.
Oh, what was this from? Okay, those are very clearly scrolls. One of them is a super scroll. This is like it was a more comedic book, I remember. Was this Cosmic Ghost Rider?
No, as before you do.
No, okay, hold on. Dude, oh my God, what is this from? It's a cosmic book. Was this from, no, this one wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-mm.
No, dude, oh my God. Is this Squirrel Girl again?
No,
only
one panel,
dude,
from each book.
What the fuck? I should know this one. I gotta think of all the Marvel comics we've done. Super Scroll, one Super Scroll. There's some other scrolls.
I think there's only one book that we read with scrolls in it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember what that was.
It was Groot, Nathan.
Oh, I forgot we did Groot. You're right. That's totally what it is. Damn it. Good book.
Good book.
This is Infidel.
Correct.
Okay.
This is the explosion.
Someone exploding
in the apartment.
Very scary.
Yeah, I remember liking that one a lot.
This is Kiss Zombies, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know because someone's getting ripped to shreds by zombies. He's got the devil horns up with his hand.
The heavy metal devil horns. This is the best panel I've ever seen.
This is when, right before he stage dove into a bunch of zombies.
I almost picked that panel. But it gave way too much because Kiss is in the background.
It's Kiss in the background. Be like, oh my God, he's going to stage dive.
That book just keeps bringing me joy.
It is like the best book we've read ever.
Oh, man.
That's also a sick panel.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can show me any panel from that book. Oh, okay. This is My Friend Dahmer.
Correct.
That's a fairly easy one. This is when he's picking up the hitchhiker for the first time. Oh, this is the naughty list.
Mm-hmm.
I'd recognize that dumb face anywhere.
It says list in there. It gives it away.
Well, not only I recognize it from his face, but this is also one of the lines that I hated, yep, where he's holding a candy cane in a dude's nose as like a form of like torture, like threatening. He's doing it like a threatening way. And he's saying, tell me what I want to hear or I push till your thoughts get minty,
which is such line.
A bad line.
So good.
Like, what does that even mean?
Because it's going to go up into your brain and it's a minty thing in your brain. Your thoughts are where your brains are.
I know, but it's stupid.
No, I like that one.
Big explosion. This is from Thanos Wins. It's when...
Oh, it fucking says it right there.
Oh, I didn't even see that, but I remember this because it's when Thanos uses Black Bolt to kill the Celestials by punching him in the stomach or something.
Oh, he stabs him.
Yeah, stabs him.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool scene.
Good book.
That's also a very just Jeff Shaw explosion.
Yeah.
So, this is from Kick-Ass.
Correct.
I could tell the JRJR smoke for some reason.
The smoke? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I could tell his smoke. He's also got like... I think it's like the lines, like the speed lines or whatever mm-hmm. those are called, that focus you in on the crash. That's a good panel though.
From him.
Oh, She-Hulk.
Yes.
This is when they're partying. Yeah. What was the artist's name on this?
Ooh.
It was a tough one.
I don't remember. It was really cool though. Like it was jarring at first just because it's like not what we're used to, but I remember it really grew on us.
Yeah.
And then we were pretty upset when like it switched artists.
Yeah, I was super upset, actually.
Because I just wanted the whole series to be done by that first guy.
Javier Pulido.
Mm.
That's what it is. Yeah, this is... I knew it was Charles Soule because it was his first Marvel thing, I think. So
the best hand in comics.
God damn it. I remember pointing out this hand, and I'm like, what the fuck happened to this hand?
Exactly. I was trying to help you out.
What is this from? Wasn't it like Doctor Strange?
No,
it doesn't look like a Doctor Strange book, huh?
Close.
I did it.
Conceptually.
What does that mean? Doctor Fate. What do you mean close conceptually? Hold on.
Dude. Like it's a similar hero. I guess if you want to use the word hero.
I don't remember.
This is from Constantine Hellblazer.
Ooh, yep. Okay. Yeah, because it does look like an older panel, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah. All right. Two yeah, more, Nathan. Make him count.
I'll get both
three
of them.
Three more, Nathan. Make it count.
I'll get all three of them.
All right. We'll see about that.
Okay. This is One Star Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
The GOAT. His name is Steve Lieber.
Yeah.
Dave Stewart on colors.
Yeah.
Red Tornado's running or walking away.
Like this panel specifically.
I did like this panel specifically. I think
it's just
really
like a perfect crosswalk. You know, it just looks so good.
I love a good crosswalk.
And then he's walking away.
I think it was just also the words specifically in this were
the soft oblivion of being quietly forgotten. What's that say down there?
Of disappearing from a world that never really needed us in the first place. Yeah, he was really pondering like what it means to be a hero and like if he gets forgotten and stuff like that. It was really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Especially to come from an android. So I just like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
This is from Black Panther.
Correct.
Yep. I remember that panel. I like that silhouette specifically
because mm-hmm.
they're watching like Wakanda.
Yeah. Pretty all cool. Right. And last but not least, Nathan.
This is from Layla Starr. That's correct. Where all the gods work.
Yeah.
This would be a good one too for comic dole.
Yeah.
or panel. No, that's not a
pandle.
Pandle. I think comic dole just gets the point across better.
Yeah. It's like movie dole or whatever.
I'm going to hire like a basic software engineer.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for playing our one panel game.
That was fun. Thank you for putting that together. I know you're probably just picking random things from episodes that we've put before.
Sure did.
But that was fun.
Yeah. And now we will get into the Polis :
Shove it in your box.
The Polis, what did you shove in your box? Not a lot of stuff came out today, did it?
I got some good stuff.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I got Human Target, number 11.
Oh, shit.
Apparently, the mystery gets solved, this issue.
But there's one more.
According to Tom King. And then the last issue is just him dying. That's what he said. So a bit of a spoiler there, I guess. But
wow, why'd they just spoil that?
I think there's going to be a little bit more than meets the eye for that. But then Once Upon a Time at the End of the World. number three.
Okay.
Four or four. I think number three.
Probably three.
Saga came out.
Yeah, 61.
61, very excited. And then Doctor Strange by Trad and Heather Moore.
Ooh, is that three?
That's number three. Mm. I wanted to read number two this week, but I didn't get to it. But what I did read, Daniel, or what did you pick up this week?
Same stuff.
Okay, cool. What I did read this week is The New Nemesis by Mark Miller and The GOAT, Jorge Jimenez.
Yeah.
And pretty good,
yeah.
I would say. I think just knowing what the character is, it's kind of like what I expected, and that's what was delivered, I think.
Okay.
So I wonder, it seems like there's more purpose like around what the character is supposed to be.
Okay.
And it's funny because you mentioned just kind of how one-dimensional the original one was with Mark Miller and Steve McNiven.
Yeah.
He says that like in like a author thing, like right up front. He's like, if I could go back and redo Nemesis, I would have changed some things.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I'm like, Daniel, I think Daniel picked up on that. So that's kind of interesting.
I know what Mark Miller should be.
Yeah.
This is his redemption.
And so it feels like there's more purpose around like what his motives are.
It'd be cool if like this was necessarily like a sequel, but also something where it kind of ties into the first one just to add a couple more layers to it or something.
I think it's just straight up a reboot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, you will, because I don't know. But right. I think that's what he mentioned in like the book. But yeah, you should read it. Let me know what you think. But
that'd be crazy.
Jorge Jimenez is great.
Top tier.
He's really good at doing Batman, but with like a really evil, snarky face on, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what this character is. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff that he was doing.
Okay.
So I liked it a lot.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll read that.
And I read Punisher number 10, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Book's still good. I just realized a little bit too late, but he's like, Punisher is obviously a character based around like war and like the war.
Yeah.
And in the book, he's fighting Ares, the god of war. And I never made that connection until like just now.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I'm like, it makes way more sense why there's like gods involved.
Yeah. Wait, but was he like fighting him like throughout the series, but you just didn't make the connection?
Ares has like been a character in the book. He hasn't been like fighting him like the whole time, but he's been like a character in the book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is there a god here? You know, I didn't like make that connection at all, that like they would be like related in some way.
Did they tell you blatantly and that's when you figured it out?
Yeah. I think so. And I'm like, oh.
Jason Aaron's like, smart readers will get this.
He literally had to like spell it out for me to like understand. And so, yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
If he's ever at a con, I'm going to embarrass you in front of him. Yo, he didn't know that was Ares, huh?
Yeah, I feel pretty dumb about that one, yeah, because normally I think I'd pick something like that up.
That is cool that he's like bringing those two random characters together.
Yeah.
So it's not the DC Ares that I'm like picturing. It's like some other one in Marvel, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Cause it's
is
not
there
like
one in like Thor or something? Or
that I can recall. Surely they've crossed paths, but it's not like a big run.
Okay.
I don't think he's in like Jason's run at all.
Interesting. But, well, not just in Jason's, but just in like any sort of Marvel mythology.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Cool.
So that's cool. And I think that's all I read.
The only thing I made time for was a book that was sitting on my desk for a couple of weeks. It was After School, number 4.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, a part of this like horror anthology one. This one's more about like this cult. This teacher starts. He starts it as like a club, just trying to kind of motivate kids and almost like preach like perfection in a way.
Okay.
And then just kind of really gets out of hand, where it becomes like this cult, where like if you're not a part of this club, then you're basically like an enemy to these just like high school kids. And it leads to them like murdering people that like mess with people in the club and things like that. And then it ends with like the teacher trying to shut down the club. Be like, hey, this was like just like a experiment and we're like shutting it down. And they're like, no. And then they kill him. And like,
so who's leading this club now?
They like picked a new leader. It was
okay.
So it was like one of the main characters in the club.
Gotcha.
But it was like interesting because like a lot of the stuff that's been in that book has been like fictional in a way, or like has some sort of science fiction incorporated into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like a good cult story. And
sure.
So that seemed to play that pretty well in like the however many pages it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like an anthology.
That's cool. So it's still, I mean, is it different creative teams every time still? Or
I think this was the same writer as the last one, but the artwork seems similar, but I don't think it's the same artist throughout.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's super, I think it's some random thing that Skybound is just kind of putting together each month. Really don't know.
Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But anyway, did you watch anything?
Yeah, I watched 2 episodes of The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the show on HBO Max with Pedro Pascal in it. Dude. Based off of the PlayStation Naughty Dog video game.
Is that Naughty Dog?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they like, got a win in there.
The thing is like, whenever I watch a show, then I see it everywhere on like TikTok and stuff, but I haven't watched it, and I'm still seeing it everywhere on TikTok, which is kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. So I see spoilers and stuff.
I will
watch it, but like, this is one of those things where like, Sarah like hates zombies, and this is close enough for her to not like it.
Not really.
It's people that are infected and trying to eat you.
And then
And
then if they bite you, you just turn infected.
And then yesterday, she's like, "Oh, I almost watched this." I'm like, "What the fuck do you mean? Without me? Not only are you like compromising on your zombie thing, you're watching it without the person who loves zombie shit."
Yeah.
But she didn't. I would have dropped the wedding, Nathan.
You should. It's over.
Yeah. But yeah, because she's seen it on TikTok everywhere, she's like willing to give it a shot.
You should. It's really good.
I know.
I have played a little bit of the game.
Oh, you never played like any of them all the way through?
No, because it's a PlayStation game. I did it on a PlayStation at one point. I thought about playing it because it is supposed to be like really, really good.
Yeah.
I know enough about the story though, just from playing video games and you know whatever. But so I would say even if you do get something spoiled, it's still really a really sick watch.
Yeah, I'm really just wanting to see the monsters.
It feels like a limited like Walking Dead, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the drawbacks of Walking Dead is that it's just so long and it's just like boring.
Yeah.
This clearly will have like an endpoint kind of deal for like 2 or 3 seasons.
I should ask someone who's played it if like they think they'll just cover the season, like the first game in like the first season, you know?
That's the trajectory that seems that's so cool. Far. But for people that have watched, I mean, there's been 2 like opening like scenes for each episode. Mm. And each one is like so raw. Like it's so cool. For the second one, there's like a scientist like character who's like trying to figure out like what this fungus thing is. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't want to spoil it, but she like says the most like hardcore fucking shit I've ever heard in my life. And I'm like, hell yeah, I like the scientists.
Okay.
And it's like, they're not even like characters in the game. It's just like context for like when the breakout starts happening kind of deal.
Yeah.
And
there's something spoilery about what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was like, fuck yeah, that's based. But yeah, really good. So Sophie even really likes it, even though there's like clearly very scary parts.
Yeah.
It's just like interesting enough of like a show. So
sick, sick, sick.
Very good. What have you been watching?
I guess somehow, you know, the TV gods just made it to where Sarah became interested in Barry.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, have you watched this? I'm like, yes, I love the show. And she's like, how far are you? I'm like, I'm in like the middle of season 3. She's like, oh, I'll watch it and catch up with you. I'm like, no. We're rewatching it.
I will watch with
because
you.
Because I am so lost in season 3, even with the recap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so we're rewatching it and it's so good. Like,
yeah, I should watch that show. That should be like my solo show.
Like just watch it's 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
Each episode. Yeah.
Oh, that's very attractive.
Maybe even shorter. Like Sarah's like, that episode was so short. I'm like, they're all like that.
That's awesome.
The first one might be like closer to an hour, but the first episode is like one of my favorites.
Okay. That's cool.
But yeah, so I don't know how interested she is in it because we just went back to Sopranos the next day, but
mm-hmm.
And then I also watched a movie called The Rental. It is a Airbnb based like horror movie.
There had to be one eventually.
It was I believe the directorial debut of Dave Franco.
Oh,
but it's got one of the Skarsgårds in it.
That's good. They're always popping up and stuff.
Yeah, I hope I'm right about that. No, sorry, not the Skarsgård. Dave Stevens is in it.
Who is that?
He's the dude who plays like, who's the guy with the hair that's like Professor X's son or something?
Dave Stevens?
Yeah. He was...
He's a comic artist.
Dan Stevens. I'm sorry. Dan okay. Stevens.
Well, now I want to know who Dave Stevens is. He was
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh. Nicholas Holt? No.
No. Beauty and the Beast. That's Beast. Not Beast.
Dan Stevens?
Dan Stevens. He was in fucking...
Oh, okay.
Legion. He's in Legion.
Legion. That's what it is. He does look like a Skarsgård.
Yeah. So that's... and then also Jeremy Allen White, the dude from... The bear was in it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. The tattoos.
Does he have tattoos? Yeah. But it was cool because it's like a very small cast and whatever.
Sure. That's cool.
I think it's probably the best way you could have handled this like concept, you know, like the Airbnb thing.
It is Dave Franco that directed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. When I heard about that, I'm like, I don't know. That just sounds so cheesy in a way.
Are you going to be scared of doing Airbnbs now?
I will check all the things that were a problem in the movie.
What was a problem in the movie?
There was like a camera in the shower head.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
No. People put like USB like charger things or like alarm clocks that have like little cameras. And I think you can find them if you like shine a flashlight like right on it.
Yeah.
But okay. That's probably a good habit just in general.
Yeah, so like just spoilers for it, like the renters, they thought that the renter, the person who owns a house, was like the person who has all the cameras and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they end up like killing the guy on accident. And so like,
that sucks.
Yeah, I know. And then it turns out that it was just someone who stayed at that residence. Like before them.
That hooked up a bunch of cameras.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so.
And they're like, oh man, I already killed this man.
Yeah. And so it's cool because like you see the guy, like he's like just in a mask and he's watching them and stuff. And then the last scene is just him renting some other place and then setting up all the cameras and shit.
Mm.
And it's pretty good.
So they could do the rental too?
There's no purpose. I think it's just to show like how he got away with it all thing. And how he like set up everything.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot.
Nice. I've been showing Sophie Invincible. We're only two episodes in.
Oh, she didn't watch it with you?
She didn't watch it with me initially, no.
Oh.
But I got her to watch the first episode.
Uh-huh.
And I was like really hoping that it would be like, because the first episode's like pretty typical until like the end, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's like the big twist. And so I was like, I hope this catches like all of our attention. But I forget like how good like the first episode is, just like the normal like, oh, I'm getting my powers and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I still fucking died when he throws a trash bag into space. Because he throws one in, which I think is such a good idea to have him like throw one in first. And he's like, oh, that sucked. And then it just activates, like something just clicks and he throws it into space.
Like a second later, it doesn't build up. It just turns on.
He doesn't like feel anything either. He just throws it and it just launches. I think it's still so funny. But
yeah,
I was like... I was like, I hope this like lands with her because it is a really good show, but I think you have to like let it simmer for like two or three episodes.
Anime and shit. So yeah, I feel like
and I think that's what helped pretty much.
But yeah.
It's so funny because she always thinks that characters that are clearly like the Justice League or something is like so lame and unoriginal, you know?
Oh yeah.
But like, there's a point to that, you know, like even like The Boys, which she loves, when she was first watching it, she's like, okay, so that's like Superman. And I'm like, I'm like, yes, but there's a point to that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a commentary or like a satire or whatever. But she's like, I think in her mind, she's like, well, this is just the Justice League, you know? Why don't I just watch a Justice League thing? And I'm like...
You don't see the Justice League get slaughtered in the first episode. Yeah, I know.
That's like supposed to be like the statement of how powerful these characters are or whatever.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. You kept talking about how like, I don't know if she'd like it.
I didn't know if she would. And still technically I don't, because the second episode we were watching really late and she fell asleep. So so we'll see. But it's only 8 episodes. I forgot. So, but... Hopefully we keep watching it because I want to rewatch it.
Right.
It's good. We were just talking about that today. So
yeah, good show.
Jolly good show.
Anything else?
I've been playing more Midnight Suns.
Okay.
There is so much to that game that they introduced to you in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And it's like one new thing that they add like every like 5 minutes when I'm still like at the very beginning of the game, but there's like a way to like upgrade the cards that you can play. There's a way to like increase the relationship that you have with like the Midnight Sun people, and based off like how many times you like spar with them a day, it like increases like their cards and stuff. There's like a lot of elements. There's like a crafting element, an upgrade element. So there's like a lot of things that they throw at you in the beginning, and I'm pretty sure I have a good handle on it. And so now I can just like grind the game, which feels good, but it took a while to get to that point.
Wow. You think it'd just be like 20 minutes or something?
Yeah. I just kind of want that in a way. Like I hate learning the mechanics of a new game. Like that's something that turns me off like immediately from games.
Yeah.
Like my friends like clown on me all the time because I don't play a whole lot of single player games anymore, because I just like hate learning game mechanics like that.
Yeah, I like definitely jumping into stuff. I'm like, all right, this is just Batman.
I just want to understand it and then be able to apply the understanding of the game to like have a creative and fun experience.
It's pretty frustrating, like transitioning to like the Switch. Like even when I start a new game, I'm like, that's not how you jump, you know?
Because
it's like rotated.
Yeah, or whatever. It's not only like controls, but just like what's going on in the game. And so,
yeah.
Like, if this was not, like, a Marvel game, like, I wouldn't play it, which sounds so lame, but...
Because you're just a big fanboy?
I don't want to... That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. Like, I just know that if this was, like, a Lord of the Rings game or some shit, I would not play it. I wouldn't touch it with, like, a 10-foot pole. But it also helps to know that Parker's playing it, and he's really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. He's, like, much further than I am, but I'm enjoying it. I went stargazing with Ghost Rider for the first time, so...
Why is it so romantic?
Dude, I don't know. But it's like, there's a mechanic where you can hang out with friends, like hang out with the Midnight Suns and be friends with them, right?
It's just pen and staring the stars.
Dude, yeah. And so there's like, pick someone to hang out with. And I was like, I want to hang out with Robbie Reyes.
Yeah.
And we went stargazing. It's just so random. Because I'm like a 6-foot man with like a mustache and like blonde hair. And we're just both at like the top of the building and we're just looking at stars. And I'm just like, this is so random. But I really want to like have a good relationship with Magic, because she's so bitter to like everyone. And I'm like, I want to be your friend.
Oh, Magic, like the character.
Yeah, like okay. Ilyana Rasputin.
Her last name is Rasputin?
Yeah. Also, there's a Runaways character in that I didn't realize.
Oh.
Which we should read. That's like a BKV book that like is a big two and we haven't read it. So
yeah, it's Marvel.
Yeah, it's Marvel.
Yeah, I've read it.
I don't think I have. Or maybe I've read the first trade, but...
I read the first trade, but that's like a 60-issue thing, I think.
Yeah, which is cool. But anyway, it's like, there's a character with like a staff, and it's got like a big O at the top, and that's a Runaways character, I guess.
Moon Knight. Oh.
Moon Knight?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got, yeah. No, he's got like Crescent Moon at the top. This is like if Khonshu had two of those put together, two of the Crescents. But no, I forget her name. It's like Corey or something. But yeah. Anyway, good game so far.
Yeah, that book's like kind of random. Just like, you think it'd just be like a slice of life kind of thing. But then like just all the elements in it, I'm like, this is weird.
Runaways?
Yeah, it's good though.
Yeah, there's like that character that talks to like dinosaurs or like can talk to one dinosaur.
Yeah.
She's like my favorite. But I'm like, why is there a dinosaur in this book?
Also because that's the only thing I can remember. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's something I read pretty early. What are we gonna read next week? But anyway, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
Are we doing Ant-Man?
We sure are.
Yes.
The one that you wanted to do.
The one that I really want to do because I have all the issues, but I haven't read it all. But I know it's good.
Who's going to buy it for the back matter?
I will. That's fine.
Okay. Actually, you could probably just like pick it up or like look at it and see if there's any back matter. And then...
Oh, like pick it up in a shop?
Yeah, just look at it. And if there's no back...
of it.
If there's no... if there's no back matter, just put it back. We'll just read the issues.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I just want to. I'll just buy it. It's fine. Yeah, but for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantum. Was it called Ant-Man Quantumania or is it Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania?
Ant-Man and the Wasp. They're both in the movie, Nathan.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, unless Wasp dies, it's probably gonna be Ant-Man and the Wasp forever.
Do you think that movie's gonna be good?
No. But
it doesn't look good, right?
It does, like it looks interesting.
It looks,
and I'm scared of Noel. What is his name?
Kang.
Kang. Yeah,
we're not gonna get Noel for a while.
I'm like scared of Kang, but like it just seems like there's so many random elements in this, and
yeah.
I just don't know how it'll play out. Like, you know, literally.
I'm glad that they're taking a different approach from just like. Comedy movie, you
yeah,
know? Comedy action movie,
which is
good. Is what I wanted for this movie. But just looking at like trailers and stuff, And I think I saw the final trailer and I'm like, this is basically the whole movie, it feels like. So
maybe
I hope I'm pleasantly surprised.
I think it makes sense that there is like a whole movie just kind of based in the quantum realm, and they're 100%. and they're seeing how deep that goes and what that's like.
But I don't like how it looks, the quantum realm.
Yeah. I think it'll be probably pretty dark. This might even be, someone will definitely die. I feel like not everyone needs to die in each movie, but I think someone will die.
I think Scott, like, yeah, he's just might stuck. Die. I think he's just going to be stuck in the quantum realm, and it'll come up for Secret Wars or something.
Maybe
that's my
guess. Or he'll die, and it's just the Wasp in Secret Wars.
I think someone's getting stuck in Quantumania.
Yeah, because they're like all going down there.
Yeah, and they're going
to
ride like.
Oh, you know what? They might kill Hank Pym.
He'd be a good one to kill as well, but yeah. I think Scott's like not coming back.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
Probably over it.
But yeah, I don't really. The whole thing looks like it's just filmed in like a shipping container.
Might have been.
It could have been, but yeah, I don't want it to look like that.
Yeah, I don't want Fanforstic 2.
But anyway, we'll read Ant-Man by Al Ewing and Tom Riley. Not Wasp. That's coming out right now. Just the first issue came out like last week.
Yeah, but there are books that are Ant-Man and Wasp, but no, we're men. We only like men, really like books.
Wasp is in this one, too.
We're like
which
ladies.
Which is why we're doing this. I don't want to do the Mark Waid one. But yeah, so that'll be next week.
All right, cool. The link tree's in the bio everywhere. Go like, subscribe.
Yeah, go. If follow. You're just listening, go to the YouTube because that game was pretty fun.
Yeah, check out our panel.
See if you can figure out the panels before I can.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at the game. I'm not as good as I thought I would be.
Yeah, you were way too arrogant and I had to shut you down real quick.
You did. You just really hard panels, to be fair, but.
Yeah, that's the game.
That is. It is the game.
It's but called the one panel game. That's the file I named it.
Okay.
But anyway.
We can work on the name. But yeah, follow the link tree, follow the YouTube, and goodbye. Later.